Serving New York State and Southern Ontario, you're listening to WDCX FM Buffalo, WDCX HD1 Buffalo, and WDCZ AM Buffalo, WDCX AM Rochester, and WDCX HD1 Rochester.
Welcome to Neil Boron Live. Real talk that gets to the heart of the matter and music that inspires. NBL is the place for information, motivation, and encouragement. So drop the mask, pick up the phone, and get ready to join the conversation at 1-800-684-2848 or 883-5000. And now, here's Neil Boron, live.
Well, good afternoon, and thanks for tuning in to NBL here on WDCX. It's a Thursday edition of the broadcast, and sort of welcome to the weekend, because Zachman, as you know, counts Thursday as the new Friday, so I guess the weekend has arrived. What's more, the NFL season begins tonight. Yes, the NFL is back, and it's going to be so weird watching football games. I mean, not like I'm going to spend a lot of time watching games or anything, but, I mean, you know, watching games with no fans in the stands. You agree with this? Zachman totally agreeing with me right now. Football's partly about the fan experience. It's about tailgating, having, you know, hot dogs and burgers and brats before the game. And it's about the fandemonium that happens in the stands. So how the NFL plans to replace that, and God help us if they decide to pipe in fake cheering, you know, like pre-recorded soundtracks of cheering, because we don't need that. We don't want that. That's just fake. Anyhow, the Kansas City Chiefs tonight against, the Houston, what are they called? I want to call them the Houston Gamblers. I forget what they're called. The Houston Somebodies. Houston Astros? No, that's the baseball team. The Texans. That's it. Thank you so much. So anyway, yeah, that's a kickoff to the NFL season, and the Bills begin on Sunday against the New York Jets here in Buffalo. And, you know, they're going to be policing the area to make sure people aren't tailgating near the stadium. It's nuts. Absolutely insane. But we're gonna talk about something entirely different today, and I'm glad that you're here to talk about it with us. And I want to invite any members of the African American community who've never called the show before to be a part of today's conversation. We obviously want to hear from any of you, U.S. or Canada. Phone lines are always open for your participation, no matter who you are. We don't decide whether or not we're gonna let people on the air based on the color of their skin or their ethnicity. If you've got something you want to share, you're welcome to be a part of the program. You just have to do it, you know, with decency and respect. That's all. I mean, you can have a completely different opinion on some issue, but we don't swear here. We don't tear into each other. We just listen, and we try to learn from one another. Because iron sharpens iron, so one man or woman sharpens another. That's what we do on NBL. But the reason I say we'd love to hear from members of the black community is because as we get closer to the elections, we're hearing more and more from members of the black community, black politicians, community leaders, pastors, and others beginning to say, you know, not so sure that the Democratic Party has represented us well over the years. And if you look at places where cities are on fire and looting and burning and rioting is happening, they're largely, in fact, entirely Democratic-controlled cities in blue states, you know, where you've got primarily like a Democratic governor and legislature and mayor and county executives and those kind of things. And there's chaos. Now, that doesn't mean that that's happening everywhere. We don't really have that in Buffalo as one example. But I think people are beginning to say, hey, wait a minute. When it comes to things like prison reform and jobs and education, school choice, as one prime example, what have the Democrats been doing for us along these lines? And have our lives improved since the civil rights movement of the 1960s? How much has changed in our favor, and particularly in Democratic-controlled states and cities? So there's a gentleman named Clarence Mason who founded an organization called LeaveThePlantation.org. And he's got a lot to say on this issue. Now, the reason I'm asking African-American listeners, whether you're black or brown, whatever your ethnicity happens to be, we want some input here because I want to challenge the notion to say, is it true? that Democratic, elected officials, the Democratic Party, hasn't served you well. I mean, that's a pretty strong statement to make. And then you take a look at the record of what Donald Trump and Republicans have done in just the last 4 years to address many of the issues that are of great concern to African Americans, and it begins to paint a picture that at least raises a question. And Kanye West, remember when Kanye West was doing his Sunday services? And in fact, I think he's running for president. Nobody talks about it much, but I think Kanye's running for president. Anyhow, on one of the talk shows where he was interviewed, he said, look it, I'm not a slave anymore. No, none of us have been slaves, but of course, slavery was a blight on our nation. It's a horrible part of our history that we want to turn the page on and move on from. We want to see as much healing as necessary to move on from that issue. But he said, there is a new form of slavery, and that's when the Democrat Party tells you that you have to vote for them because you're black. And remember, Joe Biden had said, you know, if you don't vote for me, rest assured you ain't black. What does that say? What does that mean? Are people not allowed to get before the Lord, hear from God, and decide what God would have them do, no matter what the color of your skin? I mean, the point is we go to the polls and we act upon the convictions we have in our heart and what God's showing us about our future and about what's right and what's wrong. And we should believe that God has created us in such a way that we have the ability to choose right from wrong. We can hear from the Holy Spirit. We can make decisions because we can hear from God, not because we hear from the local Republican Party or the local Democrat Party. So it does raise an interesting question. Is that kind of a new or subtle, I don't even know if it's subtle, but is that a new kind of slavery to say, well, listen, if you're black, you're going to vote Democrat because we're the ones who take care of you. Well, okay, if that's the prevailing attitude, it sort of has been. But I think it's being challenged now, and we're going to look at that with Clarence Mason of leavetheplantation.org. He's got some amazing things he'll be sharing with us. And I want to get some feedback from you. I want to hear from you. And we have tons of African-American listeners in our daily NBL audience and a whole bunch, I'm sure, that we haven't heard from because I run into listeners of all kinds that say, hey, I listen to you every single day. And I say, did you ever call the show? Oh, no, I have nothing to say. I've got nothing to say, but I love listening. I know you're a bunch of chickens is what you are, all of you. U.S., Canada, whatever, young, old, black, white, rich, poor. You're all a bunch of chickens. No, I'm just kidding. But you are all welcome to join the conversation. And don't ever hesitate to share what's on your heart. I'll go easy on you. Have you ever heard me hang up on anyone on the air ever? There was one time, actually, and I was pretty upset about what was going on and just literally hung up and then came back from the commercial break and apologized about it because I don't think Christian radio ought to be a place where you get hung up on. I think we ought to have enough decency to challenge the thoughts that people are sharing, but have an honest and fruitful conversation, try to learn from one another and maybe hear some things that we wouldn't otherwise be privy to. So that's how we do it here, and you're welcome to be a part of the conversation. But by all means, whether you've ever called in before or not, don't be a chicken. We want to hear from you today on NBL. And our number is 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. So Lord, give us direction. Give us wisdom. Help us to know just exactly how to approach this issue in a way that would bring you glory. We've got a lot to talk about today, and we're looking forward to the conversation with Clarence Mason. Also looking forward to hearing from a representative of the Alzheimer's Association, a young woman named Lauren Ashburn, who's helping to organize an event that deals with Alzheimer's disease and how it's apparently affecting members of the black community more than other nationalities. We don't know why, and we're going to talk about that, but there's a major seminar underway online, Lord, that we want our listeners to know about. So open hearts and minds and ears. Help us to really hear from you today. Come and be Lord and Master over our conversation. We want to follow you. We take our orders from you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. All right, we'll be back with more of NBL, a Thursday edition. By the way, my name's Neil, and that guy over there is the Zach Man, and he was coming down with a cold yesterday, so we're keeping our eye on him. We're taking his temperature. We got him in our sights. I'm eyeballing you right now, bro. So, all right, we'll be back with NBL here on WDCX. So let's get to it. And we're going to have the opportunity to dig in here and talk about this organization and a book called Leave the Plantation. The organization you can look up for yourself, leavetheplantation.org. Clarence Mason, our guest, Reverend Clarence Mason. And I should mention that if any of you have read any of his stuff in the past, it may have been under the name Mason Weaver, and I'll let him explain that. But Clarence, good to have you with us on NBL today. How are you?
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
Yeah, so tell us about that name thing.
Well, back in 1992, I was the first black talk show host in Southern California. I was a Christian conservative with attitude, and it shocked and upset a lot of people. And they were threatening me and trying to intimidate me, and you know, I'm an old warrior. I just had to make it easy for them not to get hurt. So I took my stepfather's name, Weaver, and added my last name, Mason. It became Mason Weaver just to confuse the idiots and the children. But nowadays, since everybody can find everyone, then I just went back to my father's name because his name was Clarence Mason, and I like that name, Clarence Mason, so I'm back to using my dad's name.
Gotcha. Okay, so Reverend Clarence Mason's what we'll call you here, but if you Google the name Mason Weaver, you may find some of the other books and things that he's done over the years. So you don't live in Southern California anymore?
No, sir. I left Egypt 10 years ago and came to the promised land where grown men can carry guns and vote freely. I fought. I was a Berkeley radical. I went to a college at UC Berkeley. I was a Black Panther. I ran with the Black Student Union at Berkeley. Very radical. I didn't hate America. I hated white people because the white racists tried to kill me and, you know, made me permanently disabled. So I had a little grudge. And then God did an instant spiritual heart transplant, changed my entire path, changed my entire mind, changed my entire focus. And now I don't hate anyone. And I forgave that white guy. And when I forgave him, that was revealed to me as the only true power we actually have. The only true power we have for anything harmful to us, real or imagined, is to forgive.
Wow.
And once I forgave him, God healed me and been using me ever since.
So what happened that brought about the transformation?
You know, I knew it, but I didn't understand the concept of if you seek, you shall find. And I was at Berkeley. I was getting my degree in black history and political science, and I was a radical and a revolutionary, and I started seeing, I'm confused about slavery. Slavery, I was confused about it because I knew no man was superior to me. So we were all African kings and queens and studying the history of Africa, and I'm wondering, then how do we get here as slaves? If we were African kings and queens, how do we end up at the bottom of a slave ship? So I started looking. I studied slavery. I studied slavery in the Bible, and I studied slavery in history. And to make a long story short, it came quite clear to me that you never see the people of God go into captivity while they're worshiping God. And you never see them come out of captivity until they start worshiping God. And black folks came over here worshiping every false god you can think of. We stayed in captivity until we started singing those Negro spirituals in the fields. And a Christian movement began with the Quaker Church and the Wesleyan Church, and Reverend John Brown and Minister Harry Beecher Stowe and the Underground Railroad began to bring black folks out of captivity. And once again, we left singing praises to God. So I recognized that my freedom, my personal freedom, was attached directly to how I worship God. And I asked God to forgive me of my sins. I asked God to forgive me of my transgressions and to forgive me for not paying attention to the calling that I had. And then God revealed to me that when that white guy dropped 2,800 pounds on me trying to kill me, it really was not him. It was God Almighty trying to get my attention because I was disobedient and rejecting what he wanted me to do. And God healed me on a freeway driving from San Diego to Oakland overnight, instantly healed me when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've been walking ever since then. I got home and ran up 3 flights of steps, first time in 4 years, and told my living girlfriend, you got to either change your last name or change your address, because I'm a Christian again. We're going to do this thing God's way. And we stayed married 35 years, so God took her.
Praise God. Wow.
And we have been walking this life, and I'm back now and trying to tell black folks, you can leave the plantation, the gates are kicked wide open. You can leave the plantation, but you cannot take the plantation with you. You're going to have to turn back to God. You're going to have to have to get on your knees before God and act like you believe God in spite of what you see, in spite of who hates you or come against you, real or imagined. You got to act like you believe the people, the word of God, which says you cannot be a slave to the world and accepted by God. You got to go to God in freedom. And faith is a verb, brother. Faith is a verb. It's something you are doing, not something you are thinking about or hoping for or waiting for. It's something you have the power to do. So I'm asking folks, if the white man did you wrong, forgive him. If the Bloods killed the Crips, forgive him. If we forgive, God will heal our land and restore us, and we'll have peace again in our country.
Man. You know what? It's a strange thing. I've never spoken with you before, but I can hear the freedom in your voice. And I don't mean necessarily as it relates directly to slavery in the past. I'm talking about spiritual freedom and otherwise.
Free.
You are walking in freedom, brother.
I'm free, brother. I have been free. And I got hurt August 11th, 1971, and I got ordained August 11th, 1991. It took me 20 years in the wilderness, running around trying to find my way before I found God. He showed me the way.
Praise God. It's better than 40 years.
Yeah.
So you became a conservative talk show host and used the name Mason Weaver for a number of years, but your real name, Clarence Mason, is the what this LeavePlantation.org is founded under, and you're joining us here today as a minister of the gospel and an author and, in some ways, I guess, still an activist, but with a whole bunch of forgiveness and freedom in your heart. It sounds counterintuitive, because when we hear people speak about the injuries they've sustained, you know, especially if it was white on black crime of some kind, kind of racist thing, it's about getting even. It's about, if there is any forgiveness, it's about reparation. You're talking about, okay, so you're laughing. You're gonna have to explain that, but help me out here, because you don't talk about these things like we hear from some of the folks on MSNBC.
No, sir. I'm only on the air a couple of times when they finally put me off. But the notion that I have to go to another man to take care of my family, to take care of my needs, that's an inferiority complex. I'm a grown man. I'm 70 years old. I don't have any doubt of my ability to do anything. But the idea of forgiving is selfish. It's a selfish idea, because God said, Jesus showed the disciples how to pray. He said, if you do not forgive your trespasses, your Father in heaven will not forgive you yours. It was so important he had to go back and explain that one verse. So when I forgave this guy, it was selfish. I had a whole lot of things God needed to forgive me for. And so I said, hey, I was going to kill the guy. I was looking to kill him. I was living on the idea that if I ever laid eyes on him again, the look on his face when he released 2,800 pounds, the look me in the eyes watching me die, that look on his face, I was going to squeeze that look off his face and take his life.
Wow.
And so how can I function in America? How can I go out and have a business? How can I get married and have a life if I'm planning on going to jail? I was planning on going to jail. And when I forgave him, that weight lifted off of me, and I discovered that hatred was heavier than 2,800 pounds of steel.
Wow.
I've been walking free since then.
Well, only Jesus can do something like that.
Amen.
And you are my brother in Christ, and I am looking forward to today's conversation. Just, you know, we had a good laugh there about MSNBC and how you sound so different from some of the people we hear in the media today. And yet there's a growing refrain. I've talked to a few individuals over the last month or two that seem to be saying similar things to what you're saying, particularly about the idea of the plantation. So we're going to take a break here in just a minute, but describe for a minute what this terminology even means, leave the plantation. Why are you encouraging African-Americans to leave the plantation?
The plantation is a spirit, the same spirit of feudalism, the same spirit of serfdom, same spirit of abuse, it's the same spirit of drug addiction. It takes away your will to take care of yourself. It takes all your energy and strength to provide for someone else. Master feeds you. He gives you a place to stay, but he takes all of your energy from you. You will never be free until you leave his control. So when the people of Egypt, when the people of Israel left Egypt, they became free. But when I left the plantation, when I left this dependency on government for everything in my life, you know, I'm a Christian, and every problem facing God's people in Scripture, every major problem came from government. So why would I, as a Christian, allow Baal to tell me what I can do and raise my kids and educate my children and give me a job. If I'm free in God. I'm not free in government. And the government is the master of all of us. You cannot think of one thing you're doing today that's not controlled by your government. So I want folks to be free, and I'm asking them to leave the plantation because it will not leave you. It will tell you to be afraid of freedom. It will tell you that freedom is bad, that independence is negative, and you are guilty of selfishness if you want to keep control of your own money. When I became free, I started preaching about income. And I was a disabled, high school black dropout, poor and black. I had no job, no income, and no way to raise income. Now I'm 70 years old. I have no debt. I own my own home. It's a nice house. And I go around the country teaching people how to live the way God intended us to live, debt-free.
Wow. Fascinating stuff. We're going to be talking with Clarence Mason here for the better part of the next hour here. So if you want to join us at any point, feel free. Reverend Clarence Mason is an author. In many ways, I guess, an activist. He's been a political talk show host, conservative, obviously, as you can hear, and really doesn't speak the language that you hear from many in the African-American community these days. And yet there does seem to be a growing groundswell of support for the kind of thing that Clarence Mason is talking about. And by the way, Kanye West said some things about this recently. I'm going to ask him about that when NBL returns. If you want to jump in at any point, love to hear from you. It's 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. Toll free, 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. And to all of my African-American friends, black, brown, whoever may be listening who can relate to the story of what Clarence Mason is telling us, I want to get some feedback from you. Does it resonate with you? Is he saying something that makes sense to you, or do you completely disagree with where he's coming from? Trust me, he can handle it. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. Clarence Mason, Reverend Clarence Mason, our guest. He's author of a book called Leave the Plantation, subtitled, interestingly, The New Underground Railroad, and his organization called leavetheplantation.org. I want to get back to what we were talking about here, and one of the things that came to me during the commercial I want to ask you about real quick. I'm looking at a CNN article dated May 22nd. Joe Biden, who's running for president, quoted as saying, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black. That obviously captured headlines for a variety of reasons on both sides of the political aisle. But what do you make of those statements? As a black American, what does it say to you to be told that you either vote Democrat or you're not really black?
Well, the slave master Biden only speaks ghettoese when he's talking to black folks. Ain't black is not his normal language. He is pandering, and he's racist, and he's really very insulting. But the bottom line is he's also scared. He's scared that the people that he depends on, his base, is leaving the care of those white masters. The Democratic Party has always been the racist party. They've always been the party of misery. They've always been a party of drugs and gangs. Dr. King, every protest march, every demonstration, every boycott he ever engaged in was against Democrats. You cannot find one time in the civil rights movement that they protested Republicans. So he is just standard. He's the standard. They are condescending, and they are managers. They're managers of misery. So I just look forward to celebrating on November the 4th when we put him into retirement forever.
So then, you know, let me just say, growing up in suburban white America, my high school, we had three African-American students in a school that had
a basketball team, didn't you?
More, yeah. Huh? 60% of the starting five. That's right. No.
Well, I know that.
No, I'm just saying, I had a graduating class of about 950, so that ought to give you an idea of how rare it was to have an African-American student at our school. That's changed quite a bit in the neighborhood I grew up in. The face has changed quite a bit. But anyway, I said that just to say, you know, you hear things, you grow up understanding things because that's sort of the way it is.
Yeah.
And one of the things, you know, that we were told is that blacks vote Democrat. And the reason is because Democrats take care of blacks. And so that kind of makes sense. Like, if you're, I'm guessing that if you're African-American growing up and you feel like, well, this is the party that takes care of us, then we're going to keep putting you back in power. But there's something wrong about that idea if you begin to look at that scenario like the slave and the slave master.
Yes, they pick, instead of picking cotton now, they pick our votes. There is no success. For 60 years now, you have been getting everything you've been getting from them the same. It's not going to change. They own every ghetto in America. You will never get jobs. Whenever you see black folks and Democrats, you see slavery, you see poverty, you see drugs, you see gangs, you see bad schools. I call them gang prep schools. That's what you're going to get. They come around on election time and collect your votes. And then you get more misery, more drugs. They understand misery. They understand abuse. They know that the worse you treat someone, the more they're going to support you. We think the opposite. See, you're a grown man. If I beat you and kick your kids in the face, I better chain you up at night. I cannot turn my back on you because you're a grown man. But they think that black folks could be abused and take it and take it and take it. And you look at the abused woman. She could be beating her up on the front lawn. When the cops come, she will get up and fight the cops. And that's how abuse is. They call it the Stockholm Syndrome. And so the more abusive those neighbors are, the stronger control they have over that. And when I come across my message that you are free because God created you, they have to fight me. Because if they believe what I'm saying, they have to admit that they have been fooled by all their leaders all their lives, that their black pastor was unsaved, that the politicians have been lying to them, and they've been fooled. It's very hard to believe that about yourself, so they lie and they attack me. But I'm just here to tell folks. I'm not here to convince anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Racism, they keep saying Donald Trump's a racist. I'm saying, what can a racist do to me today? What power? I live in a redneck county, folks. Only 1.7% black in the whole county. It is rural Missouri. It's the Ozark Mountains. I do not care if white folks, my neighbors, don't like me. Why would I care about that? Nobody's going to come down my neighborhood and burn a cross in my yard because I got an AR-15 and we don't like crosses in my yard burning. I'm a grown man. So to have this idea that he's racist, is irrelevant. Because right now, if you and I go out to dinner tonight, we go to a restaurant and they say no blacks allowed, I wouldn't bet I wouldn't go in there and neither would you. So they would go out of business. Why are we afraid of racism? I'm not afraid of racism. You mentioned reparations a little while ago. You want to know what reparations were? It was when 360,000 white men went south to fight their brothers and died trying to free strangers. That was reparations enough. It was the Republican army that went south to defeat the Democrat army to keep you in slavery. If anyone owes reparations, it will be the Democrat Party, because they're the ones that held us slaves and fought to keep us slaves and try now to re-enslave us again.
We had a conversation recently, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, about Planned Parenthood and how many of the clinics are located in poor black neighborhoods, how Margaret Sanger was a eugenist, wanted to see the elimination of all minorities, not just blacks, I think. Okay, so then tremendous amount of support from the Democrat Party for Planned Parenthood over the years. And then, I don't know if you saw the video by Kim Klasick, the young woman running for Congress in Baltimore. She's walking down the street. It looks like Beirut right after a bombing.
Yep.
I mean, it's unbelievable, saying, look at this. This has been under Democrat control for 53 years. Enough is enough. It's time for change. It's time to vote Republican. And, I mean, I don't know if her life was in danger at that point or what, but these are controversial statements. What do you make of the idea, like the what have you done for me lately thing? Because some people are saying, look at prison reform. Look at school choice, the education issue. Employment right now, previously, at least before coronavirus, said it's all-time low.
Yep.
And you say, who's actually doing something for people that need help, that need a hand up? And is it the Republicans or is it the Democrats? So how do you respond to that?
It's working. Don't believe the lies. Black folks see this now. I have a nephew of mine. He is a hardcore drug-dealing, gang-banging member of the Bloods Crip gang. He is hardcore. This guy lives red, he bleeds red, he acts red. He has no redeeming qualities whatsoever. High school dropout from a bad school. He told me, dude, there's no more guys on the block to hang out with. Everybody got jobs now. I'm voting for Trump. This guy has been reached. We're no longer taking the garbage, the nonsense. We're standing up and thinking. You cannot be a liberal Democrat if you think. So we're not worried about what they're saying. The response to Joe Biden reaches our heart. We know that Camilla was Willie Brown's concubine. We understand the games that Democrats play on us. And what we want no one to take care of us. We want no one to provide for us. We know that you cannot give me more than I can win from you by competing against you. We have seen what happened. Well, I was at Berkeley. I saw this conflict. The white man got me down. But we at Berkeley, dude. We at Berkeley. We at UC. We at Cal Berkeley. Mm-hmm. Getting degrees in law and science. Everything. But what do you mean? The white man cannot keep us from anything. We dominate everything that we think we can do in spite of white folks not liking it. Rapping, singing, football, baseball, basketball, boxing, even hockey now. Gee, so why am I afraid of this ghost called the white man? I am out competing against Americans. What Donald Trump has done is create more income coming through the neighborhood. More cash coming through the neighborhood. If you're not prepared to get that cash, you're going to stay broke. But if you're prepared to get this money flowing through the neighborhood, you're going to be wealthy. So let's not be afraid. What Donald Trump has done is open the doors of opportunity for you who want to take opportunity. There's a difference between poor people call it making dough and rich people call it cash flow. Get in the way of the cash.
All right. I don't even know where to go. I've got so many questions for you. Just real quick. It seems to me that when, like, Clarence Thomas was nominated for the U.S. Supreme Court, and obviously there was that whole thing, the Democrat Party came after him.
And Joe Biden included.
Okay.
Sitting there on a panel.
Yeah. All right. So, but a lot of hostility aimed at him instead of, you would expect, celebration, right? You say, well, this could be the first... one of the first African-American, you know, Supreme Court justices. Let's celebrate the reality that...
But they don't celebrate success. You've never seen the Democratic Party celebrate success, especially in America.
Why?
They hate success because they need misery to govern. You know, they need angry people, scared, frustrated, uneducated, unmotivated people. That's what they do. They rule misery. They will never celebrate America. They will always tear us down.
These are some strong statements. Now, listen, many of you that are listening, you're either resonating with what Clarence Mason is saying here, or you're absolutely upset with the way that he's going about talking about the Democrat Party and what has transpired.
The tone of my voice.
Yeah.
My tone, is that right?
But I assure you he's a brother in Christ, and he may have wanted to kill someone at one point in his life, but Jesus changed his heart. We would love to have a conversation with you. So I got to hear from somebody on this. And anyone's welcome to call, but especially folks in the African-American community. Are you beginning to see or hear things that sound similar to what Clarence Mason is talking about here? Because I do believe, this is just me, I got no science at this moment to back it up, but I believe that there is a groundswell of support for the kind of thing you're saying here, and it's beginning to happen. The people are beginning to ask these questions. Hey, 53 years in a bombed-out community, nobody's going anywhere. We got black-on-black crime here, and you want to defund the police? This place is falling apart around us. We need change, and the Democrat thing isn't working for us. We're hearing more of that. So talk to us, 800-684-2848 or 883-5000, 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. We'll get to your phone calls, and I guess Kim from Rochester is going to be the first. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. All right, let's get some feedback. You've heard quite a bit. We're not going to have all day with Clarence Mason. You can learn more about him at leavetheplantation.org. His book, leavetheplantation.org, is subtitled The New Underground Railroad. This is a fascinating conversation, and we're getting as many off-air comments and text messages as I'm sure we're going to get on air, which says that Clarence Mason's stirring the pot today. Reverend Clarence Mason, by the way, he's an author as well, and over the years has written books under the name Mason Weaver, but kind of changed that name, fearing for his life, I think. Because you kind of just say it like it is, and I think everybody is refreshed by the fact that you don't hold back. You just say what's on your heart.
I live in a well-defensible home. If I look out my window and I see you, you are trespassing.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, If I stop over, I'll call you first, okay?
You must. You really must.
All right. Okay. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. Going to Rochester first. Kim, listening to the conversation here, you had something to say to Clarence. Welcome to NBL. What's up?
Hi. I'm just loving what I hear.
How come?
Finally, somebody is actually speaking up for the truth.
All right. Like what? Name something.
How do I say it?
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything. I mean, we are independent thinking people. I am a black woman, and I speak my mind. I speak up. When there is injustice, I will say something. I will not vote Democrat. I am voting for Trump.
Amen.
Interesting.
And basically, the proof is what he's been doing. And I'm so glad, finally, that black people are finally waking up and say and looking what this man has done for black communities. I mean, what's going on in this country right now is horrendous. And shame on human beings for basically destroying this country because they hate a particular person that speaks the truth.
Okay. Clarence, respond to what Kim's saying here.
Kim, I love you, girl. I mean, the idea of standing up for Kim should be negative to who? The only time that can be negative is someone wants to control you. And you recognize it, you see it. I tell my grandkids now are 15 and 17 years old now, they're thinking about these creatures called boys. And I'm trying to give them some insight. How do you judge a good man? You don't judge a good man by what he says to you. You judge him by what he does around you. And the same thing with Trump. We're looking at Trump now, we're saying, that's a good man. Because he's doing things. He's creating opportunity. And we are very competitive people. We dominate everything that we think we can do. So let's think that we can own a business, be married 35, 40 years, raise some kids, and have a new culture called the culture of success. I'm very proud of you, sister.
I answer to one person, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Well said. Kim, thanks for getting us started. That's a great way to begin the conversation here. I want to get to Bob as well, also from Rochester. Bob, welcome to NBL. You're on with Clarence Mason. What's up?
Well, I don't completely agree with Clarence. I don't like what's going on now in terms of the society.
Yeah, Bob, if you can speak up. He's having trouble hearing. In fact, you know what? Let me do this. Let me switch him over to what we call Hybrid 2. Zach, man, maybe we can get a little more volume on Hybrid 2. But, Bob, speak up if you can. Clarence was having a hard time hearing you.
Hey, can you hear me a little better now?
Oh, much better. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Because we got to go all the way back. So you got to know your history. You know, you got to go all the way back to Abraham Lincoln, who was a Republican. He freed the slaves. And then after that, everything just kind of stopped. You know, the slaves never got to 40. The freed slaves never got to 40 acres and a mule. We had a whole lot of lynchings. We had a whole lot of abuse for roughly 100, almost 100 years. Then you had FDR come in. He started some programs, social programs, got the military desegregated and started allowing black soldiers and white soldiers to connect with each other. And then, when we had Eisenhower come into office, he sent troops down to Little Rock, Arkansas to, get the kids in school down there in Little Rock because the governor didn't want to allow black kids to go to school down there, you know. So, you know, we've had black people, you know, being held back primarily because we've had the kind of government that we've had over the years. And we've had good men on both sides, Republican and Democrat. Now, fast forward to today's society. Well, before we do that, let's go to Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King went to JFK. He went to Lyndon B. Johnson. And we got some bills that allow us to vote, to give us affirmative action, and to give us some things that, you know, would allow us to fit more into the society at large, you know. And now, let's fast forward to today's society. You know, when Obama left office, he left office with a good economy, even after things were in shambles when he came in, because Bush and Dick Cheney had everything screwed up when they left office. When Trump came in, what he did was, and it was a good move, he cut the taxes. When you want to spur the economy, you cut the taxes. The people at the top can hire more people. They can do more things. They wouldn't do that during the course of Obama because they wouldn't allow him to do anything. You know, just let me finish talking. When the Republicans got into power in the House and the Senate, you know, they tried to stop him from doing anything that he wanted to do in terms of help, but he still worked it out. You know, he still worked it out. When Trump came in, he had a whole lot better situation than when Obama came in. And I don't have a problem with Trump. Trump is a smart businessman, okay? He's a very smart businessman, and he did what he had to do to get things moving a little bit faster, you know. But I still see a lot of flaws in him as well. See, it ain't all about economy and money and all of that. It's about what's the spirit of the country now?
All right, and I'm going to put you on hold because we got a whole bunch of other calls to get to, and I want to give Clarence a chance to respond. But I mean,
so much to respond to. It's amazing. He thinks that Obama had a great economy for black folks when they had a record low unemployment. I mean, record low black-owned businesses. It's amazing that you can go through these last 20, 30 years and see anything that Democrats have done good. I'm astounded that we still believe that Trump built up Obama's good economy. The economy when Trump left office was 16. The stock market was 16,000. Today it's up to 27,000. There is no comparison. But I understand folks want to give credit to both parties. But JFK, brother, that voting act was a Republican act. 60% of Republicans voted for it, and less than that of Democrats voted for it. It's always been Republicans running the civil rights movement, never black folks. I mean, never Democrats.
Yeah, and then you got stuff we haven't gotten into, like prison reform, opportunity zones, school choice. I watched a YouTube video of you, by the way. I want to get back to the phones, but I watched a YouTube video of you talking about, he mentioned the military briefly. Interesting that so many blacks can serve in the military and help keep peace in foreign cities, but our own cities are war zones, and you wonder what's wrong with that scenario. So I don't know if you can comment on that quickly.
I have a suggestion. If you go overseas, why is it that with 7% of the population are black men, we make up 25% of the baddest, toughest military on this planet. We protect the whole world. We come home and let Pook and Ray Ray run our kids crazy. So I have a suggestion. When you get discharged under honorable conditions in the military, send that soldier home with his weapon, and we will take care of the hood. But they don't want the hood taken care of. There's a lot of money in poverty, a lot of money in gangs, a lot of money in drugs. But if you give those well-trained, well-motivated black men their weapon and send them back home, they will take care of the problem. Let's do that.
Interesting. Bob, thanks for your phone call. Let me move along here quickly. We lost whoever that was, but we got Emery in Buffalo's next. And if you wanted to get through, there's a line for you right there, 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. All right, Emery, welcome to NBL. You had something to say. I don't know if it's a question or a comment, but welcome to the program. You're on with Clarence Mason.
How you doing, Neil? Hello to your guests as well.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, Emery. Recognize the voice. Long time no hear. It's good to have you with us.
Yeah. I just wanted to agree with the guest saying. I'm in the car, so I only caught some of it, but I think that what's important is that, you know, as Christians, when we think of this as Christian, that there's this deeper issue at hand that needs to be understood. And that's the whole idea of having a biblical worldview, you know, seeing things through Scripture, understanding what God has said. And when I think of that, I went back, you know, and began to study many of what Brother Mason is saying. I became a conservative back in 1985. I mean, because when I first got saved, I couldn't understand the Democratic Party and the stand it took on abortion. You know, as a new Christian, for me, it was like, you know, there's something wrong with that. And so since then, of course, it's mutated. You know what I'm saying? When you look at all the identity politics and you look at the gay marriage, you look at all these things, you have to look at which, you know, what we need to understand concerning a biblical worldview as Christians. And so when you say plantation, I've been studying a lot lately that really it's a democratic plantation, you know, if you wanted to make it more specific, because as I went back and saw that they were the party of slavery, they were the party that was of Jim Crow, they were the party that resisted every single Civil Rights Act all the way back to the 1800s, and it's amazing that we need to do that study, we need to do that history, and I'm not saying we have to become independent, or have to become Republican, I'm just saying the facts speak for themselves to be able to see that this is a party, that Obama said it in his book, you know, I'm going to quote it, but he says that the plantation has moved from the South to the urban area. You know what I'm trying to say? And it's a terrible thing to see how I think that the African-American community has been used for the vote. You know what I'm saying? And yet, when it comes to a biblical worldview, it goes against everything we as Christians believe when you get into the moral aspects of it. So that's taking it beyond Trump. I'm going back to the platform itself and having a worldview, not to say that all Republicans or conservatives have a biblical worldview, but as Christians, as believers in the Word of God, when you look at the moral emphasis of the Democratic Party, it's heartbreaking.
Right. And Emory, I don't know, I hope you'll forgive me for saying this, but I know something about Emory's testimony. He's a pastor in the Buffalo area and formerly a kind of a militant black Muslim, if I recall, radically saved and transformed heart, mind, soul, and spirit, and serving the Lord Jesus Christ today. So this is a good man we're talking with, Clarence. And welcome as a pastor, home, I think you can relate to some of what he's describing.
Welcome home. Absolutely correct, man. Pastor, if you look at Judges chapter 2 through chapter 6, when the people of God went into captivity, when they stopped worshiping God, came out, when they stopped worshiping God, back and forth, in and out of captivity, that's us.
Mm-hmm.
We turn our back on God Almighty, and God is waiting on us to decide to follow him again. And if we turn back to God, he will heal our land. That's the only way we're going to do it. They got us running around. You mentioned, you know, the plantation. You can never leave the plantation if you keep sending your kids to master the train. He's going to train your kids to work for his kids. And we are downplaying ourselves. Right now in New York, the worst, the most dangerous place for a black child is in the mother's womb. Because we are allowing master to give us our culture. We don't have a black culture.
Yeah.
We have a slave culture. I belong to the culture of God Almighty. I belong to the race of Christ. And nothing's going to keep me from dealing with that in my everyday life. And God has blessed my steps every step since then. And let's keep spreading his word, Pastor. I will come and speak at your church if you want me to. Let's keep spreading his word.
That's funny you say that, Emory. I tried to reach out to you a couple of years ago to have you speak at an event, and I couldn't reach us for some reason. I left a message on the phone machine. I never heard back, so it's good to hear from you, brother. Anyway.
Yeah, it was a matter. I came in from out of country, and I've been going back and forth, so it's been kind of rough.
I gotcha.
But I did get your message.
Okay.
But I think it's important for us to realize these things because there is a new groundswell taking place where a lot of people are leaving that plantation. And, you know, when you get ostracized and you get criticized of being an Uncle Tom or being this or being that, you know, it's almost like, you know, somebody on the plantation telling a free man that he's sold out because he left the plantation. You know what I'm saying? We need to begin to realize what the history is.
Master told the slaves that freedom was negative. Who's going to feed you? You get your food from my bowl.
Right.
They want you to die in the woods. Where's your daddy left last summer? They want you to think. They told the slaves that north was south and south was north because they want them to stay there and pick that cotton. Today, the same thing, brother. They do not want us to be free because if we're free, we'll stop voting Democrat.
Powerful.
Right.
Emory, good to hear from you. Don't be a stranger. Let's connect somehow.
Okay. All right, Neil.
God bless you. Take care. All right, we're going to be back in a moment. Reverend Clarence Mason, our guest, also has written books in the past under the name Mason Weaver. He was involved in media for a long time, used that name, I think, on the radio. And anyway, we've got him today. He's founder of an organization called leavetheplantation.org. I encourage you to look it up. Wrote a book, in fact, a number of books, one of them called Leave the Plantation, The New Underground Railroad. And ultimately, we're talking today about whether or not the black community has been well served by the Democrat Party over the years, and why it is that it seems there's a groundswell of support for making change in that area. So let's get back to it here. Clarence Mason is a pastor, and he's our guest. He's written a book called Leave the Plantation, a number of other books as well. Clarence Mason, or Mason Weaver, another name he used for a period of time while writing and doing radio and stuff. You know, just before we talk about, speaking of radio, you're doing a radio campaign, but let me mention Kanye West is somebody people listen to on the radio. He actually, I think, is running for president officially slash unofficially or something, but you know, he had been doing these Sunday services and claimed to have become a born-again Christian. I pray that's true. But somewhere along the line, I was watching a video. He was being interviewed by someone, and he said almost the same thing you're saying. Like, hey, the new slavery is telling me that because I'm black, I have to vote Democrat. And you mentioned the word, I think, Uncle Tom, or maybe Emery mentioned it when he was with us on the air. Sometimes blacks who don't seem to fall into line, it would seem, get called Uncle Tom. And anyway, all that said, did you catch that from Kanye? And you know, some people criticized him, but I thought he also was speaking to a variety of people that seemed to understand what he was saying for the first time.
They can only call your name, folks. They can only call your name. Their only response to whatever you do is to say, you're mean, you're tough, you're racist. That's all they can do, because they know you believe it. I think we both need to stop. White folks and black folks need to stop trying to make everyone like us. They're not going to accept what we believe, and they're going to always criticize us. I'm calling Uncle Tom by clowns that never read the book. I am an Uncle Tom. Uncle Tom was the greatest Christian in that book. Uncle Tom was the leader. Uncle Tom saved folks. I'm an Uncle Tom. But these clowns don't even read the book. They want to call your name to get you to stop discussing the truth, because it's painful, and start defending yourself, which is useless. So I will be whatever you call me, but I will not be a liar.
You launched a radio campaign recently. I think some of your ads aired on the Steve Harvey Show and the Breakfast Club, asking kind of the basic question we're dealing with here. What have Democrats or Republicans done for black people? Describe what you're doing there, because it's a major undertaking.
We have, I've been very successful. God has blessed me, and I'm trying to get a message out. We're trying to get people to think. And I'm running ads all over the country and urban radio stations asking the question, why would any black person vote Democrat? What has Democrats done for black people? And I tell them, inner-city ghettos, drugs, gangs, abortion. And what has Republicans done for black people? And I start naming Howard University, Spelman College. I start naming the schools and asking the question, can you name me one black university founded by a Democrat? They are the party of hatred. And my last book, I've got 9 books out. My last book is The Democrat Party Hates America. Not just black folks. They hate everything. But you white people got to stop. What happened to you white folks? Why are you running around here now looking for a safe space because somebody's going to call you a doggone name? What happened to the Romans that took nothing from nobody? What are the Vikings today? We need to stand up with us. Let's take back our nation. This is the greatest place to be, white and black. Where else do you want to be? Where else do you want to be? They're trying to destroy the foundation you're building for your kids and grandkids. Join us. We're ready to fight for this thing. We're ready to push back. But we need you guys to stop being so apologetic. They call you a name. You kidding me? Can you imagine what the name they call me? Let's stand up and say the truth. Let's stand up for God and proclaim the gospel truth that you're not free unless you're free in God. I know you're scared, but the safest place to be is in the will of God. Let's go do this.
Well, that being said, what do you think of Black Lives Matter?
I call them Black Lives Matter. They are a socialist group. Can you name me a socialist country where black folks are thriving? My goodness, why would they? They're founded by lesbian women. They hate men. They hate success. I had a TV program. I was on Fox and Friends with them in the morning with the founder. And I let her speak first because I'm a gentleman. And when she finished speaking, I said, I'm embarrassed to be on this program with you. I'm embarrassed to be in the presence of a self-hating black person that thinks that every problem black people have must be handled by white people. You are a shameful person. You have no self-esteem. And you think that black men are weak, so you're going to white men to beg to take care of your kids for you. I'm embarrassed to be here. If you had any self-esteem, you'd be embarrassed too. And that was the end of the program. They took me off the air, and I went home.
I want to go to.
I also said the truth. I said the truth, though. Folks, you can't call me a name to make me angry. You cannot call me a name to make me upset. You certainly cannot call me a name to make me back off the truth that God gave me.
Amen. All right, Lisa in North Carolina. Well, that's a long way from home. Lisa, what's up? You're on with Clarence Mason.
Hi there, Clarence.
Hello.
I listen to you. I'm wondering, why do you think that the Republicans can do anything for black people?
Why do I think they can?
Yes. I mean, why would you be a Republican when the Democrats are for black people?
Yes, the Democrats are for you, sort of like my dog is for his Alpo. You know
what I mean? What?
They have done absolutely, you cannot name one thing the Democrats have done for black people. Not one thing. John Conyers got off the ground at that Patmos Bridge when they beat him down and ran dogs over him. He got up and dusted himself off and started voting for Democrats and became a Democratic plantation overseer. But the Republican Party has given nothing to black folks because we don't own black people. We don't give nothing to anybody. We give opportunity. And if our men and women are not prepared to take their rightful place in this country by creating jobs and taking care of their own kids and taking care of their own homes, then we're going to continue to be slaves for America. I'm suggesting that black folks stop looking for something given to them and start competing in this country. We will own this place if we did that.
Well,
and you know I'm right.
I'm almost convinced.
You know I'm right. That's why you hesitated. The truth just hits you right between the eyes, and you cannot buckle your knees to say you're right. God Almighty will bring you where he wants you to be if you act like you believe in him. So black folks should stop looking for to give them anything and look for God that gave them everything.
Well, but for years, I mean, my grandmother, my parents, they're all, it's black people are supposed to vote Democrat. And Donald Trump, he's just a rich white man. And how can I relate
to him? I'm a rich black man, so listen to me then. Makes you feel better.
Come on, that's unbelievable. Lisa, I don't know if you... We're going to replay this show on Saturday. Zach Mann just said we're going to replay this on Saturday so you can catch some of the beginning if you missed it. But we went down some of the list of things that have happened in terms of opportunities that have been given to black Americans under the Trump administration. Doesn't mean, Clarence, I don't think you're saying that Trump isn't racist or is. I don't think that's the point. You said it's not about what people say. It's about what they do.
What they do.
Yeah.
If he's a racist, he's a really, really bad racist. I mean, this guy's horrible racist. I mean, he got black folks working. He got black folks in business now. He gave a record number of money to black colleges. What kind of racist is that? Horrible racist.
Even school choice. I mean, giving people in inner cities an opportunity to get a good education for their children and for parents to be empowered to make the choice. I can tell you this. I covered the Democratic conventions in 92 and 96. And the one thing, I covered both, Republican and Democratic conventions those years. But at the Democratic convention, I was surprised by the number of teacher union people present. American Federation of Teachers, National Education Association, whatever. They were everywhere. And the point is that there was a real effort to keep a grip on education. In other words, we're going to give you the education we want you to have.
Indoctrination.
Yeah, as opposed to the freedom to decide what's best for your kids, which is what Republicans are offering, that opportunity you describe.
That's why they hate it. There's a lot of money in poverty, folks. Yeah. There's billions in poverty for those running it.
Unreal. All right. This ad campaign you started.
Yes, sir. I decided to put up $30,000 of my own money to run ads across the country, inner city neighborhoods, talking about what the difference is between Democratic Party and Republican Party, and vote your own interest. Now, we're down to the last, we're going to run them until probably the end of September, and then we're probably going to add the budget again. If anyone wants to help me run these ads, on my website, leavetheplantation.org, I have pledged that every book we sell now to the election, every dime will go to running ads in Chicago and Pennsylvania and St. Louis and Detroit. We're going to go into New York. We're going to go into the meat of the plantation and invite people to leave your misery, leave your poverty, leave the drugs, leave the gangs, and join and vote for your own individual freedom. So go to leavetheplantation.org. We got 9 books out on different things, including economics, how to live debt-free, but how to think like a man and a woman and be free.
All right. A couple more phone calls. We should have time for a few, and I've got a line for you if you want to jump on board. Patrick is next, 800-684-2848, 883-5000. Got a few minutes left here with Clarence Mason, Reverend Clarence Mason of LeaveThePlantation.org. The new Underground Railroad. We'll continue the conversation here in just a moment. By the way, Alzheimer's disease, more prevalent in the black community than in other communities, and we'll be talking about that a little bit later on with a young woman of the Alzheimer's Association. There's a special faith community event happening over the next few Thursdays, a webinar to help educate and instruct all caregivers, including African-American caregivers, how to address some of the issues and needs that exist in the black community. By the way, 6th leading cause of death amongst all Americans, but Alzheimer's disease is the 4th leading cause of death amongst black Americans. Interesting. Leave it to the Zach Man to play Freedom Hymn, coming back from a commercial break. We're talking with Clarence Mason, Reverend Clarence Mason, in the past as a talk show host and author. He also used the name Mason Weaver, so you may find some books under that name as well, but you can learn more about him by going to leavetheplantation.org. Boy, I got a number of my own questions. Let me get to Patrick if he's still with us. 800-684-2848, 883-5000. Got to jump on board quickly if you've got a question or comment. We've only got a few minutes left. But Patrick, let me get to you. What's up? You've got something for Clarence?
Hey, Reverend Mason, welcome to the airwaves of Buffalo. Now you got to come visit us in person. We look forward to it. Amen, brother. Hey, I just wanted to say real quick, and I'm going to paraphrase it. Luke 17:26, paraphrasing it, we're all of one blood. It's different ethnicities. That's all this is. And I am really thrilled. I'm really thrilled to see that there are a lot of my brothers and sisters that are online. They're becoming vocal about it, and they're coming out as far as being openly conservative. It's really uniting the family of God in a strange kind of a way. And I think it's wonderful. I really do. In the height of this virus thing that we're in, this is nice to see. And I do talk to I love it. I absolutely love it. And that's it. That's my comment.
It's huge. Breaking up here. How do you want to respond to Patrick?
I appreciate that, brother. I think that we all have to understand that the enemy continues to throw lies at us to deflect us from our mission. Our goal. They try to divide us up by our differences. They try to call us names and try to make us afraid. And even in Scripture, you see people who knew Jesus was the Savior. The Pharisees knew he was the Savior, but they were too afraid to speak out because they may get thrown out of the temple. The biggest problem facing God's people has always been government. That's our adversary. Let's not comply with them. Let's control this monster or it will kill us.
Wow. Patrick, again, thanks for the phone call. Let me do this. You're a preacher, so I'm a little afraid, but let me just give you the mic for a minute and speak to our listeners, particularly African-American listeners in Pennsylvania, in New York State, maybe listening online anywhere in the world. But we've got millions of Canadian listeners as well. Tell us, just speak from your heart, whatever you want to say about the issues we've been discussing today.
I appreciate this. Brother, the issues come down to one thing. Who are we? And we've got to get in line with God. We have to understand how God aligns things up. I want to talk to the men, the black men, because everything in your kingdom belongs to you. That woman can do nothing. We have to first, these men have to first take these women and give them their last name, the most valuable thing they have, and raise their kids under their protection, your strength, your energy. It will protect your family. If you don't do that, you don't have a culture. You don't have a family. If that woman has to go from man to man for protection, your children will be raised around weak men, and your boys and girls will grow up weak. We will not be a people. We will not be a nation until we get back to the family, and we cannot get back to the family till men stop preying on women and start preying over women.
Let me ask you this. That's a powerful statement. Someone was with me recently, and I'd have to dig to find out exactly who made the statement, but they said that in any given presidential election, Democrats need at least a 65% voter turnout in the black community. And of the 65% of turnout, 90% have to vote Democrat, or there's no chance for the Democrat to win based on how the Electoral College is set up and, rural America and stuff, all of that. do you sense that there's enough of a shift going on right here that the most amazing thing, I mean, it would be astounding to liberal Democrats to think that possibly Donald Trump could be elected because the black community voted for him.
30%.
Yeah.
I predicted 30% of the black vote would go to Donald Trump. He said more than once, 450 black teenagers and college students in the White House, in the White House. He's raised funds at home in Mar-a-Lago, $2,000 plate dinner for black organizations. This man is coming out. He's talking. He's listening. I was a founding member of his Black Voices for Trump Board of Advisors. And he comes and asks questions. He wants to know what is it that we can do. And he lets us do it. He's not doing anything. Trump loves America. Trump loves people. And Trump, by the way, loves God.
Wow. All right. So I got to go to the West Coast real quick. Alberta, Mark, you got about 30 seconds. We're running out of time, so make your comment brief. Good to have you with us.
Okay. Thank you. I just got a question about Peter. He, Christ said, those who deny me, I'll deny before my Father, and those who confess me, I'll confess before my Father. And just Peter denied Christ three times, and Christ built the church upon him. And then also,
he repented.
Peter was saying that he would like to go to hell to save all the people, just to summarize what he kind of said, to save the souls, he would take their place. Isn't that kind of misguided with Jesus as the goal?
Okay, help us understand how this relates to today's conversation, though. It's a great question, but...
Oh, sorry, I'm on the road. I don't know today's conversation. I have no idea.
Okay.
I didn't hear his last statement. What was it? I heard the first one.
Well, respond to the first one, and I'll think of the second one.
Okay. Peter repented. Peter regretted. Peter grieved denying Christ. And we can deny Christ all day long, but to accept Christ at the end is what we're living for. So I don't mind. I'm not human. I'm not perfect, but I'm human. So I just give God all the honor and all the glory, and he just washed off my steps and forgive my little sins.
All right. And the second part, well, we're not going to deal with it because we're out of time, but I'll tell Andrew Farley to deal with it on his show tonight. It has to do with Peter being willing to go to hell to save others and whatever. But it's not germane to today's conversation. It is a great question, though, that could be dealt with at another time. So we got about a minute left here. Clarence, I'm very grateful that you're willing to join us. You've got a book, obviously, called Leave the Plantation. And you said you've written how many books now, total?
9 books.
The most recent one is...
The Democrat Party Hates America.
Okay. And all of these are accessible through your website?
Yes, sir. Okay. Everything is there.
All right. Leavetheplantation.org. Well, Lord, I thank you for my brother, Clarence, and I thank you for his boldness and his willingness to share what's on his heart. I know for sure that not everyone listening today agrees with what he's saying, but at the same time, Lord, whatever truth you have spoken through him, I pray that that would resonate and stick in the hearts and minds of those who love you. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Clarence, thanks for being with us. Can we get you back sometime?
Anytime, brother. Give me a call. Stay in touch.
All right. Thank you. We will do that. Bye-bye. God bless you, too. Clarence Mason, leavetheplantation.org. There's more to come here on NBL. As a matter of fact, we're going to be talking about that issue related to the black community, how more blacks experience Alzheimer's disease than any other ethnic group here in the U.S. It's incredible.